This is the NBC Radio Network. WRC, WRC-FM, NBC in Washington.
Just well, thrilling, that's all I gotta say, boy.
Well, it's all over now, just about.
I stayed up until 7 o'clock this morning.
You look a little bleary-eyed.
I feel bleary-eyed. Just think, 12 hours ago, though, I was up watching the television, Huddley and Brinkley.
You notice how quiet it is around the studio here today?
Kind of awesome, you know?
It is, yeah.
Guys really had to work hard last night.
Oh, they worked long hours.
The newsroom did a tremendous job.
Let's go in.
All that free food.
See if anybody wants some coffee. Right. I imagine those fellas are really
good. Yeah, come on in the newsroom here.
All right. Good evening,
Washington. Look at these guys. Thorn wood in here. Can you believe it?
Alex Dreyer.
Really? Well, look, I don't want to wake him up, but what do you say we...
Yeah, let's leave. Personally, they work so hard.
Pretty embarrassing moves. I know they must be just worn out. Think of their wives.
Yeah.
How patient they've been.
The thing that bugs me is that we got a show to do here and we can't find any engineer.
Well, I'm sure the logical place to look for an engineer...
Engineer's Lounge.
Engineer's Lounge. Come on over here. Okay.
Open the door.
I think they put it on automatic pilot. Let's see. They're all on. How do you turn this microphone on in here?
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Bobby,
I've been sleeping here.
The mystery man is still up. Would you wake up? As you can tell, these fellows have been working around the clock, and they've been snoring and sleeping here. And we got a show to do, fellas. I know you're tired, but...
Tired? That's the understatement of the year, boy.
It looks like a Saturday night after a long weekend at one of those summer camps, all these guys lying around here and...
What is this show, anyway?
...eating sandwiches and stained coffee cups.
Well, this is the Joy Boys show, what's left of it, for Wednesday. This is Ed Walker here.
And for those of you in Green Bay, Wisconsin,
Greenland?
Yeah, that's the word I was thinking of.
For our armed forces?
Yeah, if it's mid-July, where this show is done on election.
Yeah, in case somebody's tuning this thing in and saying, what are you doing? The election was, like 6 months ago.
This was 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, really?
Yeah.
Well, we always get the new shows first up here.
This is sort of the automatic time machine.
I'll tell you, by the time a record gets up here, it's been a hit and gone for about 2 years.
Coming up on our show is
We have an interesting thing. Willard left the format sheet over there. We have a nice show for you this evening, though. Very calm and relaxed, as you can tell.
Let's see. We have
The Answer Man.
The Answer Man.
We also have Just Plain Stella Bear.
Just Plain Stella Bear.
And A Great Moment in History.
And A Great Moment in History.
You know, you didn't even have to get the sheet. I remembered it. You
kind of ridiculous,
have to go
but
over
I didn't
here.
Mention
Yeah.
That.
We have an award, too, by
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Why am I queuing the engineer to play the record, then?
The Tranquilizer Manufacturers of America have just voted the Joy Boys show the biggest sleeper in radio. Are you going to say what the record was?
Yes, that was Cy Zettner, the orchestra. A little thing called What Was the Record Was. No idea
Two
what
guitars,
it was.
Two guitars, is what
it was called. Two guitars, Mr. Walker.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, I was on a new page on duty, and I'm not too new to the studio.
Please, we have a bit coming up.
I hope to be an announcer someday.
Yes, the pay-as-you-go plan was instituted by a mortician.
No, the Rough Riders were not a Western singing group under the Teddy Roosevelt administration.
Yes, a stacked deck is a boat full of beautiful women.
No, Longitis is not the name of a famous Swedish opera singer. It's time once more for radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man, now in its 84th year. Each week at this time, the Answer Man answers the questions you, the radio listeners, have sent to him.
Me?
You. And now, here he is, the Answer Man.
Thank you very much. Meet your audience this evening. And good evening, Willard Scott.
We are left over from the Republican convention.
Now then, Willard, I see we have a stack of mail here, so would you get to our first question, please?
Certainly, Mr. Answer Man. A pigeon raiser from Hyattsville sends this question in. He's actually, a little footnote here, he is Walter Pigeon Raiser's brother, the famous Hollywood actor.
Yes, know him well.
He's a local kid. He asks, what is a frogman, and what is his duty?
Well, a frogman dates frog women, I guess. I'm not a biologist. I don't know that much about these things. As I say, we don't answer questions of that nature.
A post office employee would like to know how many stamps are required for an average set of luggage.
Well, that all depends what color the stamps are that you receive. It depends. Sometimes it takes a couple of books to get the proper amount of stamps there, depending upon whether they're green or red or whatever, you know.
A Swedish yodeler from Arlington writes, what do you feel causes echoes?
Would you give me that again, please?
The way it's written here, it says, a Swedish yodeler from Arlington writes, what do you feel causes echoes?
I haven't got the slightest idea.
A Mrs. Stella Dallas from New York City sends this one in. Where are Papa David, Young Widder Brown, Helen Trent, Mary Noble, Ma Perkins, Lorenzo Jones, David Hiram, and Vic and Sade? We are trying to hold a large reunion and wish to know the whereabouts of the above-mentioned people. P.S. Four of them still owe their union dues as of fall 48.
Seems to me I ran into that bunch one day picking up their unemployment check when I was out of work, and that hasn't been too long ago, so I think you can finally contact them. Otherwise, you might write the Secretary of Old Radio Actors, Father Barber, Box 4, Seacliff, San Francisco.
We've been visiting with radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man. If you have any questions for which you'd like the answers, simply address a card or letter to The Answer Man, WRC Radio, Red Square, Hartford 2, Virginia, along with $720 to cover the cost of handling and mailing. And be with us again next week when we'll present The Answer Man.
I hear you yodeling.
Hey there, yourself, I'm here. Very nice recording of Hey There by Peggy Lee.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us in the studio your friendly Rambler dealer.
Good evening, Mr. Walker, Mr. Scott.
It's certainly a pleasure to have you on our program.
Yes, it certainly is.
I understand they're here.
What's that, Mr. Walker?
The wonderful new compact Ramblers from 1961.
That's right, boy, and they're the finest cars on the road today.
New styling, new comfort, and engineering features. See them all now. That's your Rambler dealers. He's revving up his motor. Thank you for being with us. Now. Somebody cue the announcer, please.
Oh, yeah. Ding Dong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed.
What are you sleepy for, sir?
I was doing the cut-ins to the southeastern leg of the network last night.
For what?
We sent the Northern Virginia primaries down to
Jacksonville. That was last summer.
It was a mistake.
Oh. You're on.
The only bird seed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear brings you the heartwarming story of just plain Stella Bear and her fight for love and happiness. Starring the gifted stage star, Margaret Ardern, in the top. She's quit movies. Margaret Hartburn in the title role of kindly old Lady Bear. It's early afternoon as our story opens. We hear the gentle tippy toe of young 38-year-old, fabulously rich playboy son Herbert is becoming in the living room where Mother apparently is sewing.
Ma.
Three little fishes went up the creek.
I see you're sewing there, Ma.
Oh, really? Is that what I'm doing? Good. Let me just put the old needle down here.
Say, listen, Ma, what I was wondering...
What's on your mind, Herbert?
Oh, my hair, mostly. No, what I wanted to see about was I got some buttons off my shirt, was wondering, Ma, if I could get you to sew some new buttons on my shirts for me.
Herbert, you've been losing your buttons ever since I knew you. Let me see that shirt over here.
See,
Herbert,
the buttons are all off over here.
Let me get your shirt over here.
Okay.
Please. All right, that's wonderful. All right. Okay. Oh, yes, there's a great big button missing up here.
Yeah, can you fix that?
Darn, Herbert.
Well, no, that's what you do with socks, Ma.
I don't have no buttons.
Oh, you don't have no buttons?
No, fresh out.
Well, I had some, I think, upstairs.
All right.
Wait a minute, I'll
run upstairs. Meanwhile,
young Herbert Bear going upstairs to get a button so his mother can sew it upon his shirt. As our story revolves, we find ourselves back in the living room. Herbert's approaching.
Here are the buttons that you want, Ma. Right there. Whole box full of buttons.
All right, Herbert.
Hmm?
These are metal campaign buttons from yesterday's big political race. Now, what on earth do you expect me to do with these?
Well, you wanted a button here, so it right on my shirt there, Ma.
Herbert, we can't use campaign buttons. They're made out of metal. They're no good. We'll throw them away.
Oh, well, that's a shame to do that, Ma. It seems like an awful waste of buttons, you know.
What on earth are you going to do about it, for heaven's sake?
Not much. I don't usually wear buttons, though, you see.
You don't?
No, I'm a zipper man myself, and I just couldn't find a campaign zipper anywhere,
that's
Ma.
That's how we're going to get out of this one, huh?
Right. I'll take those. I'm Uncle Louie melts those things up.
Here.
Thanks a lot.
Be my guest.
King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, has again brought you Just Plain Stella Bear. Hey, they wrote the old boy out of the script this week, didn't they?
Yeah. He sold his stock in the company or something.
I heard he's a little hard up by himself. I need some money, but Margaret Hartburn in the title role of Stella Bear, Kindly Old Lady. Based on the book, Not Enough, Soon Enough, by Claudia Clyde. Adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Peck production.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Radio Rockville, and that's Frank Sinatra.
We're through now.
Okay, fellas, let's go.
Okay, I just cut off the ending there.
Frank Sinatra and...
Nice and easy.
Nice and easy.
Yeah.
Cue the announcer on duty, would you please?
And now, great moments in history.
Now it's time for Great Moments in History. The facts and true stories behind momentous events that have helped to shape the present-day world. Now, for today's exciting true story... The story of the famous French biochemist Louis Hassenpfeffer, as he lived it and as he wrote it. As our story opens, we find ourselves in a small farm just outside of Burgundy. Young Louis Hassenpfeffer, biochemist, is milking his cow.
Let me see you, my dear.
As he says,
always get that mood indigo. Since my baby said goodbye, or I could sing, I'm in the mood for love. Yeah, that just about fills the bucket. I've been working for weeks and weeks trying to figure out a way to keep milk from spoiling so that it will last longer and I can sell more of it to the markets. Ah, I've got an idea. If I put the milk in this pitcher like this, put it on the stove like this and let it come to a boil. There we are. Look at it boiling. Ha ha ha. Look, that will preserve the milk. It will last longer. Yes, Louis Hassenpfeffer has found a way to preserve milk. I must go see an advertising agent immediately.
And so young Louis Hassenpfeffer, having boiled his milk, had discovered a whole new process of preserving milk and keeping it from spoiling. As our story reopens, we find young Louis Hassenpfeffer, the French biochemist, in an advertising man's office, as he says...
Monsieur, you must listen to me. I, Louis Hassenpfeffer, a young biochemist, have found a way to make milk last longer. It will not spoil. This is a revolutionary thing for the homemaker.
Certainly, Monsieur Hassenpfeffer. I think we have the whole idea figured out. Now, here is the layout ad for the first advertisement of your wonderful new milk.
Wait, just a moment.
You will notice here on this first page a picture of a cow. Here is the boiling water milk in the bowl now. And down here you see we call it, this milk has been Hassan Pfefferize.
That does not fit, does it?
Well, it takes the second page to say Hassan Pfefferize because your name is too long, monsieur. That is all there is to it.
How about if I use the name Schwartz?
Schwartz-Eyes will not service the public. They are not that kind of people, no.
Oh,
we have got to find some way to break down your name from Hassan Pfefferize to something else.
It's a shame that you must worry about a name when these poor cows out in that pasture all day long...
Pasture.
What?
Cows in pasture?
Yes.
How about you? The milk has been cowsurized.
No, no, monsieur. Pasteurized.
Pasteurized.
My name would be Louis Pasteur.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's today's great moment in history. This true story as to how Louis Hassan Pfeffer, later Louis Pasteur, changed his name and discovered the system of
How about a bottle of skim milk this year?
Joy boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro.
It's been a great pleasure to be on your show here. Thank you very much.
Our engineer Aldo Argentier sitting in for the ailing Arthur Page.
Oh, I'm tired.
He's out drinking beer by ailing. That's what I mean.
This is Ed Walker here. Willard Scott laughing at his own material.
It's pretty cute, Ed.
He'll be back tomorrow at 7:05.
Ray Michael sitting around here trying to figure out why Navy lost.
Man. Sing it there, will you, fellas?
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
By popular demand, NBC is going to rerun the whole election night next.
One more time.
Not me. I'm going to get out of here as soon as I do my news on the...
And the news tonight is going to come up in 1 second. Cue Mr. Beatty.
This is Morgan Beatty bringing you News of the World. Tonight in the headlines, the big story, a thing called the interregnum.
Highly placed sources within the Kennedy Party said tonight Vice President Nixon lost the election because his campaign strategy was bad. These sources, who cannot be identified, said the percent of the Kennedy to defeat the Eisenhower administration was incredible. The president-elect Kennedy faced the factors of age, President Eisenhower's popularity, and also his Roman Catholic religion. They said Nixon made a mistake by campaigning in the traditionally Democratic South, that had he concentrated on the industrial northern areas, he might have won. They also said President Eisenhower was misused, that he should have begun to make speeches on Nixon's behalf last September. To come in at the last moment, they said, appeared to be an act of desperation, and the psychology was bad. Also, the circumstances being what they are, Senator Kennedy could have won without a Southern running mate. Art Barrio, NBC News, for the Kennedy Party in Hyannis.
President-elect Kennedy will step into an impressive collection of problems when he takes over the White House, and one of these, if it materializes, is one that Kennedy should have anticipated since he predicted it during the campaign. It's the problem of unemployment. The Labor Department's latest employment figures show unemployment went up almost 200,000 in October. At the same time, the number of people holding jobs went down by more than 250,000, although employment normally does go up by more than this in October. So the net loss in the number of people working could be considered as more than 500,000. Other figures in today's report also were discouraging, and the projection of last month's totals is pretty gloomy. And on top of this, there was a forecast by the Agriculture Department that we will have another record crop this year. Robert McCormick, NBC News, New York.
WRC, WRC-FM, NBC in Washington.
Dearly beloved, we are assembled here to unite this man and this woman in marriage. Now then, if there be anyone here who can show just cause why this marriage should not be performed, I require that he speak now or ever after to hold his peace.
I do.
I beg your pardon, sir. This is the first time in 30 years performing weddings that anyone has ever objected. What is your objection, sir? Who are you?
I'm the father of the bride.
And you don't want this man to marry this girl? Is that the idea?
Well, not right now, no.
What is the problem, sir?
Well, it's 7:05, ma'am, and time for the Joy Boys, and we can continue at 7:30. I mean, we've heard the news.
Come with me. There's a radio in my office. I'm going to hear the show, too.
The Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of you people that were hired as coffers, you may leave now. You get your check outside. Goodbye. As you can tell, ladies and gentlemen, we want realism on our show, so we hired a dozen people to cough during that wedding scene.
Put something in the coffer, by the way, right now.
For the coffers, yeah. Yes, they need the money. And this
local coffer number 632. It's a union coughing outfit.
This is the Joy Boys program for Thursday.
I told you outside you get your check.
Upstairs you. A coughing department.
Now, what do we have on the show this evening?
Coming up on our program tonight, my friends, I think you're going to be quite amazed. The tape is going to break at 7:15, and you'll hear organ music for 15 minutes. Actually, we have the Sodbuster, WRC's new family game, The Laundry Number, something that you might win valuable prizes,
That's right.
I doubt it. And also, Good Manners Can Be Fun, our WRC hostess of manners, Miss Mamie Fanbelt, will be here to talk to us today. So, I think it's going to be a good Jonathan Apple. Hello,
yes.
Will they hack? Yep, hello there.
Come wind or snow, sleet or rain, Jonathan Apple is here again.
Hey.
There you are. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our WRC poet laureate, Mr. Jonathan Apple, and here he is with a poem for you today.
Now that we're all through with politics, I can get back to going to parties and doing funny tricks.
Hey.
No, that's
now, in closing, here's Jonathan Apple with these fond words.
Don't be nervous, don't be jerky. Listen to the Joy Boys. It's a real turkey. Good night.
That was very nice music, fellas. I enjoyed that.
Art, you're not supposed to be here.
I'm not scheduled for the show, no.
You're on dinner hour, Art Page.
We can scratch Art.
Scratch Art, will you?
I'm the man who's the...
That feels good.
Thank
I'm
you.
The man in charge of the turntables and the keeping the levels and adjusting the microphone.
I would like to say this. Maybe you remember when President Eisenhower was inaugurated the first time back in 52, that Aldo Argentier took the very famous television camera shot of the president. We're telling the truth here. Remember that wonderful shot where the president looked a little tired and sort of pensive? And it was a very famous shot. People saw this picture all over the world. And our own Aldo Argentier took
thank
that.
You. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think I'll take a shot now. Is that
No. Wait a minute. We're talking about the picture shot.
Look, you fellas, you got a show to do here. I'll just...
Art, I don't understand it. You're on dinner hour. You're not supposed to be
I
here.
I love the show with all my heart and soul.
Arthur.
I've become a fan of this program.
That's beautiful.
And besides that, they paid me.
Oh. Well, overtime.
Yes.
Give me that overtime sheet. Put that thing over here.
All right,
let's use us to lie your way into Richdom.
Shall we? Richdom. Shall we do a
Richdom
bit here
is
now?
The capital of...
The cast is all ready for the Sodbuster. Ready?
West on MacArthur Boulevard come the thundering hoofbeats of Great Horse Platinum. With a cloud of dust and a hearty hi-ho slobber, the Sodbuster rides again. Nowhere in the pages of history can you find a greater champion of justice. A more fearless, hard-riding, straight-shooting, beer-drinking, peace-eating, the Sod. It's a Sodbuster.
A true gentleman of the old school. Men feared him. Little children respected him. Women loved him. A true gentleman of the old West. The sound of those thrilling days of any old year, we find roaming about the wild badlands of the old West, the Sod Buster. The Sod Buster, U.S. Marshal Matt Leonard, and his sidekick Chester Drawley.
Come here, Chester.
That's my line.
Oh.
In and around the territory of Hyattsville, on out beyond Tacoma Park, out towards Wheaton, Kensington, runs a Sodbuster, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard. It is early afternoon as our story opens. We find ourselves in the Red Dog Saloon. Chester is walking around looking at the chorus girls as our story opens.
Get myself on them.
Good evening, Chester.
Well, howdy, Miss Kitty. I'm just around to see
you. You care for drink, Chester?
Well, no, I don't think I want any right now.
Okay, Chester.
I'll just go on down here and hear that good pianer music.
Howdy, Chester.
How are you?
Howdy, Zeb. How are you?
Give me some real good music, I guess.
It looks to me, Geek, I think that we better check the bank. It's going to be a tough job, but I think if we work on it, we can do it tomorrow night.
Well, seriously, what is that man talking about the bank? I'd rather get in here and listen to him.
What I think we ought to do is this. You see, Geek, we don't want to do it while people are in the bank. It's too dangerous now with all them explosives and everything. I think we better wait till after closing time when ain't nobody around.
Yeah, that's a real good idea. I'll go out and get my tools, and I'll meet you there in about a half hour.
Come on, it won't be too hard to save.
I don't believe what my ears have heard. I better get on down and see the Marshal Lowe's varmint. You're about to rob the bank, I do.
And so, Chester went on down as fast as he could to find the marshal, having thought that he discovered one of the biggest bank plots to ever hit Dodge City. As our story reopens, we find Chester and the marshal outside behind a cluster of bushes waiting for the two would-be crooks.
Chester, keep it down. We don't want them to hear us.
Yeah, no, Marshal. I heard them a-talking in the saloon, and they said they were going to do it tonight, so...
They're going to blow up the safe? Just, is that what they said?
They were talking about explosives, and I heard them talking about leaving the people get out of the...
Marshal.
Yeah?
Marshal.
You
know what? Marshal.
What? Don't pad your part. What?
Look. Look up there. Behind that big pine tree.
It's a little pine tree. I see it.
There's a bear back there.
Oh, a bear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I think I see one of those varmints coming down there now.
I thought it was a bear, Marshal.
Let them get inside the bank, Pastor. Wait till they go inside, and we'll sneak up.
Okay, Marshal.
Well, I'll just get on that.
You know, you got the dynamite, do you?
Okay, Marshal, get in.
Come on, Marshal. Hold on to him, Marshal. Hold on to him,
Marshal.
Hold on to him, Marshal.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
This is a mistake, Marshal.
What are you doing with us, Marshal? Untie me.
All right, you guys. Chester heard you talking in the saloon. He found out you were going to rob the bank, and there's the dynamite right there.
Chester said he heard us going to what?
Rob the bank.
I don't know what I don't. Chester, you must be out of your mind.
We're not going to rob no bank, Marshal.
My mind, neither. I heard you talking about the explosives and wait till the people get out of the bank. I got good ears.
Wait a minute. We was hired to come in here and reinforce the wall outside the safe so that nobody could break into it.
Yeah, well, with the Ajax Construction Company, our job is to rebuild the safe in the bank. What are you, crazy or something? Untie me.
What is the matter with you,
Chester?
Well,
Marshal, the way they's are talking, I just don't know. I couldn't believe what I hear.
Go back and clean up the office.
The Sod Buster is written by Moby Dick, produced by the NBC Newsroom on the weekends. The entire production is directed by Horace Opera and supervised for NBC Radio by Billy the Kid. This has been a Saddle Thor production. Cha cha cha. We'll be right back.
Granada del Sol de Guerra, Semana del Sol de Guerra, Granada.
Hey. News from WRC Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, now for the first time, the biggest of all radio home quizzes is now brought to you by WRC Radio. It's our own new WRC family game, the Lucky Laundry Number Quiz. And now to tell you more about it, here is Sen Sen, our Chinese WRC reporter.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Willard Scott. Once again, it's time for our new game, the Lucky Laundry Number. If you have the laundry number on your shirt that corresponds with the number that I'm about to read, you'll win some fabulous prizes.
Now let's spin the WRC Lucky Laundry Wheel of Fortune.
And around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows. And here is our lucky laundry number for this hour. 453229.
4-5-3-2-2-9. Check your shirt. Check your latest laundered suit to see if you have this lucky laundry number.
It could be one of us right here in the studio. So
Eddie,
why don't we check our shirt?
Let me,
all right, yes.
Hold,
you want to check my shirt?
All right. Here, just hold. There you go.
No. You didn't have to rip it, did you?
Not on the back. Would you check mine for me?
Yeah, here, turn around.
Okay.
Let me just.
On there?
No, it's not on there. Art?
Yeah, right. What do you want?
Hold still. Just...
Wait a minute. You're not going to rip my good shirt.
No.
No number, huh?
Bobby, hold still. Yeah, give me your shirt, Bobby. Here you go. Not going. Thank you. Now, let's see. George, would you hold still just a second, please? Hold still. 4-2-9, 4-2-8. Nah, you lose.
Oh, that's close. Unfortunately,
yes.
No one have lucky laundry number.
Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute.
What?
We checked everybody's shirt but yours.
Oh, no. We have a good silk shirt.
Turn around.
We don't want you to check your... Oh, no. Oh.
4-2-2-3-9-9-9. Hey, oh. Wait a minute.
What's that?
You got the lucky laundry number on the back of your shirt.
Oh, so I have.
You're trying to rig our show for us.
Well, I want
our reputation. We've been in this town now for about 8 years, and you come in here with one little contest and ruin our whole
show.
These
are such wonderful prizes. I want
come here, put your head in there. Let's get you a closer look. Oh.
James Brothers and Marie.
Yeah, what?
Hey, bud, come here.
Yeah?
Have you seen that beautiful 1961 Rambler?
Yeah.
Isn't that a honey?
Yeah, it is.
Isn't that a beautiful car?
Yeah, it sure
I
is.
Mean, don't you think you'd like to have one?
Certainly.
Well,
yes.
That car has got class, pal.
Yeah.
Stop by and see your Rambler dealer the first thing tomorrow morning.
Rambler dealer?
Yeah, and get yourself a Rambler, man.
I already did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
WRC Radio, in cooperation with Dirty Doily, the greatest name in fancy linens, brings you WRC's Good Manners Can Be Fun show, featuring the very world-renowned Miss Mamie Van Belt. Now, our studios and Miss Van Belt. Welcome to our show, Mamie.
Thank you, Willard, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Myself and my husband, Oliver, are here this evening. Oliver, say hello.
Hello.
Thank you. And this evening, we're going to discuss a very fascinating topic, the proper placement, seating arrangement at the dinner table when you're having a party.
We all know good manners can be fun, and of course it's very important to seat people at a dinner party next to each other to stimulate the conversation,
correct,
to make the dinner sparkle, to compliment the chef's coiffure.
I think you mean cuisine, don't you?
Well,
I think that's the type of... Oliver, how many times have I told you to double-check your scripts when you write them?
Very near,
eh? Oh, why don't you shape up or ship over, for heaven's sake?
I'd like to ship over.
Now then, we're going to discuss the proper chair seating arrangement at the table. Beginning, of course, with the head of the table, where one usually finds the head of the house. Oliver, would you sit down there at the head of the table, please?
Thank you,
all right. And now then, usually you sit the husband and wife next to one another. However, when you're having guests, it's best to have someone else sit next to the husbands and wives, separating them, because a lot of husbands and wives don't even talk to one another.
Well, now, then, in this seating arrangement you have here, your husband, Oliver, will be sitting next to you, so you'd like to...
I don't like that at all,
no,
Oliver.
Okay.
Now, Oliver, you're definitely not the head of this household. Would you move down two chairs, please?
Yes,
dear, I'll do it. All right, sit right down here. Now, that's better. Now, then, of course, you want to make sure that if you have people who aren't married, that you have two eligible single people sitting together. Possibly Cupid will go to work. You see what I mean?
I see. You're tingling with excitement.
Yeah. In that case, Oliver, you're still in the wrong. So would you move down three chairs, please?
Yes,
Oliver.
Dear. I'll just...
That's much better. And now then, of course... On second thought, Oliver, why don't you just sit at the foot of the table, Oliver?
Yes, dear, I...
Yeah, sit down there where you won't be noticed.
Sorry, dear, I...
Oliver's not much of a conversationalist, and he makes the party...
Down here at the front of the table, dear, is that all right?
We have...
me a little lettuce. I'm getting very hungry all
We have a problem here, Oliver.
Celery and maybe one of those big red olives.
We have, 13 people at the table and only 12 chairs.
I like my roast beef medium.
Oliver, you're not going to be able to sit at the dinner table for this party. Why don't you just go out in the kitchen and eat with the help?
Yes, dear.
All right. Right out there, Oliver. Now then, ladies and gentlemen, as you see...
My golly, it worked.
Excuse me, Oliver. I'm Ed Walker from the show.
It works every time.
Do you always let your wife bully you around and push you around like that?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you don't ever fight back?
Oh, no.
You let her, I mean, she literally threw you out of the dining room.
That's, I love it. I like back in the kitchen.
Why do you want to eat in the kitchen?
Cook's got a daughter.
Not yet.
Oh,
no, the show's not over yet.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Well, that's it for the Joy Boys show for this evening. Till tomorrow, then, this is Ed Walker.
Well, it's got here. Thanking you, Aldo.
You're welcome. Very nice.
Dr. Page.
Yeah, I enjoyed my lunch hour.
Bobby Shenton. And wasn't there somebody else?
This is yours too. Oh, George Brewington.
George Brewington. Excuse me, George.
This is Charles Stafford reminding you that I'm out for Lee Dayton's job and this program is heard overseas.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Lee Dayton gets a frog in his throat on the next station break over NBC.
No, I don't. WRC, WRC-FM, NBC in Washington. 7:30 at the beach. This is Morgan Beatty bringing you news of the world. Tonight in the headlines, the big story, exclusive. Kennedy considers nuclear test treaty a gauge of Russian intentions. May confront Khrushchev with a demand for a fair agreement or resumption of tests. The Pentagon and atomic commissioners, plus powerful Democrats in Congress, agree uncertainty and Russian horseplay must end in Geneva. Hyannisport, Washington, awkward start on a change of the political guard. Chicago, the chimpanzees in the labor force versus unemployment. London, a longer time for a swig in the pubs, don't you know? And the news tonight is that President-elect John Kennedy has been confronted with new and increasing pressures within the government and within his own party to demand early and positive and fair agreement with the Russians on nuclear weapons tests. The nub of the proposition in front of him is just this, and it has been put in front of him on the day that nuclear test negotiations resumed in Geneva. The nub of the idea before him is the Russian leader Nikita Khrushchev should be confronted with the clear-cut expression of Senator Kennedy's own late election declaration for world peace through strength of the United States and her allies. Mr. Khrushchev should be told, we will either have a fair agreement on nuclear tests or we will resume underground tests ourselves. From the Pentagon and the Atomic Energy Commission come pressures on the elected candidate to put an end to uncertainty in the nuclear field, and we'll have a direct report on that. Today, the president elects two most influential advisors in Congress. The alternating chairman of the Joint Atomic Energy Committee began to throw their weight into the balance in favor of the Pentagon.